Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin. Bez Hashem, BPJ number 86. It's Bais Pnimi, joint share number 86. We went through a book called Marital Intimacy by Avraham Peretz Friedman. We're going to go through a second book of his, a beautiful book called Setting a Table for Two, Enhancing Relationships and Achieving Intimacy. He has an askama here from someone, Rabbi Saul Herzog, and he brings a few very important points that we live in our generation here with challenges in these areas that are unprecedented, and it seems insurmountable. It's extremely difficult to go through life being strong in our morality because we are so constantly bombarded with stimuli that distract us from our mission in life way beyond it was in earlier years. Now, the two categories of such people that fall into being exposed or being negatively affected by the environment, there's some that cloister themselves, pirish, they separate themselves from the world, outside the walls of the Beis Medrash, they stay inside the walls. And then there are those that go straight and cross over into the business world and go beyond that. And they believe the Torah will protect them from harm when they're going out in the world. And it's sad that both groups suffer a severe casualty rate when it comes to going off the derech or losing their morality when it comes to the sexual aspects of morality. Now, it's understandable that he says the people who are more loose in their behaviors, that they go outside of the walls of the Beis Medrash, that they go out in the world, to say that they have that danger makes sense. But what does it mean when people cloister themselves and isolate themselves from the walls of the, you know, of the world, and they stay in the walls of the Beis Medrash or in their culture? So what does it mean that there's severe casualties there, and why should that be the case? And we're going to get into that in this book, and we're going to address that issue. He, Rabbi Friedman, I think he has an askama, it's not in this book, in the other book, from Rav Henoch Leibowitz, one of his main rabbeim, or he acknowledges him as being one of his main rabbeim. But the idea being is that he focuses a lot on this delicate area of human relationships that has a tremendous potential for great spiritual fulfillment, great emotional fulfillment. And he counseled people in marriage. He understands how working on to improve and perfecting a marriage will depend on improving the character with Hashem himself. And that problems in marriage are actually problems in awareness of ourselves. It's not our husband or our wife that's the main problem. The main issue is lacking our own self-awareness of ourselves and of our roles in marriage, which is a divinely organized structure that Hashem placed us in, that He wants us to fulfill and accomplish tremendous things in the marriage. And we totally, most of us, lose sight of this point, of these two very big important points. And it's very, very important to stress these points because it clarifies everything in the most profound way that changes the shift in all marriages to become more positive and more purposeful and more meaningful. Which is being self-aware in your marriage. I recognize that there's a bigger, higher calling here. Hashem is calling you for a very high calling. And the real key is what Hashem is telling us in a marriage is yes, I do want you to be out there and accomplish things in the world. But He wants you to experience things that are not from the outside, that comes from within ourselves and within our home, within those that are the most closest to us, which is a husband and a wife relationship. And the title is very apropos, Setting a Table for Two. Then there's a forward from someone, Rivka Torsky Kanz. I like these Rivka Torsky Gans things, like Slovy, Wolf, Young Rice, But the bottom line is that she is a licensed marriage therapist and family therapist. And she also wrote some interesting insights on this book, and she was asked to proofread the book. And she says the idea is that modern marriage is fragile. It's under siege. It's under hostage. And this, because there's a lot of stressors and pressures in marriage these days beyond in any other generation. Because we expect much more from marriage than ever before. We want our spouse, husband or wife, to be our soulmate, best friend, a sounding board, financial partner, and primary source of unconditional love. And it's an ideal. But if we go by statistics, we're going to fail miserably because it's not the case very often. It doesn't naturally happen like that. And 50% of all marriages in the United States end up in divorce. Many who stay together aren't happily married. And the sad aspect is that the Torah, in the Torah observing community, there are too many divorces and that are unwarranted. Some are, but many aren't. And many that are not are living together in an unhappy marriage. What complicates this is, like we mentioned before, is the expectation of instant gratification and immediate results, like technology. And our culture defines success in marriage by how well your needs are met and how quickly they are met. The idea behind it, she quotes her father, someone like Shlomo Twersky, that said about the influence of internet and influence of environment. We can lock the doors and board them up to protect ourselves from the influences of the culture around us, but they will seep from through the windows. I think I heard from O. Wilson, Zogas Insight, that Olo Kiolo Mavis Bachali Nenu, it's a Pasuk in Eicha, that death came to our windows from the outside. And some say it hints to Chalei Nenu, means windows, the actual program connected to the internet, that death came to us because we don't know how to handle it and we misuse it. And we need to understand the spiritual purpose of our marriages and why we're doing it and how we will become better human beings as a result. She also writes a very important point that all of us need to know. And when I give these shiur, people need to know this. When people read books, real books about improving marriages, or shiurim such as this, it could cause a tremendous amount of pain and hopelessness. Why? Because they think everyone else's situation is better. We're the ones that are falling short. And as we get to believe that we feel inadequate and discouraged and disheartened because of our marriages falling short to the ideal, when of course everyone has it much better. And this public presentation about Shalom Bayis could be, damaging unless you remember this yisoid. The yisoid being, the foundation being, that no one has a perfect marriage. No one has a perfect marriage. No couple's relationship always beats the ideal paradigm. And I have to admit, this is one of the hardest aspects of me giving the shiurim. Because I, like everyone else, do slip up in my practical personal life and fall short in the ideals that I'm preaching. And very often, I felt very much like a hypocrite giving these shiurim, trying to explain to go on a higher ideal when I know I myself failed miserably many times. And because of that, there were many times where I just didn't want to go on giving these shiurim. What's this all about? I need the shiurim to be told to me. I can't be giving the shiurim. And I felt very much like a hypocrite often when I slipped and fell into things that I was warning so much about not to fall into. It's very, very difficult. But the idea being, though, is to remember one thing. Number one is that no one has a perfect marriage. And no one's couple's relationship meets an ideal paradigm, which means everyone has issues. Everyone has in their marriage strain of stress, of anxiety, and so on and so forth. It's the most normal thing. But we need to get past it and work on ourselves and not get discouraged either. This Rebbetzin Twersky has a saying posted in her office that says like this: the reason we get disappointed in what we compare everyone else's highlight reel to our behind-the-scenes footage. We get disappointed when we compare everyone else's highlight reel to the behind-the-scenes footage of ourselves, which means like this, that the highlights of ideals is when you see another couple out there and they're smiling at each other and even maybe holding hands and they're very warm. You don't see the other side of that. But to us, when we interact in our normal marriages behind the scenes, we see a lot of the bumps in the roads, and we need to work on enhancing that. An example she gives, which is a very good example, is this figure skating at the Olympics. They have couples, husbands and wives, that do this, where they skate together. It looks effortless. It looks graceful. They glide through the ice. They spin. They turn. They jump in exact synchrony, in exact alignment. And what the observer watching them does not see is how much pain each one of those couples are feeling. And they have skater's knee, which is an injury, feet maybe straining, trembling as they glide over the ice, or the previous injuries that they're struggling with, and how their hearts are pounding and the lungs are straining, and how much anxiety this couple feels as they are every time they jump, and the endless hours of practice, and the superhuman effort that went into making that dance look so effortlessly in the Olympics, and the constant falls and spills they took to perfect that 3-minute or 5-minute performance that they're doing in front of the world that got them that silver medal or that gold medal or whatever the medal was. They don't see the struggles behind it. So when we observe other people's marriages, when we read or hear descriptions of what an ideal marriage is, we're viewing a dance, an outward dance. We do not see the struggles, the fumbles, the injuries, the bumps in the roads. And that creates a certain unrealistic, warped jealousy that shouldn't be there. Because marriage does require always ongoing growth, individually and the relationship-wise, between a husband and a wife. Every one of us trips. Every one of us stumbles. Every one of us hurts each other. We feel a strain, we make mistakes, and we try, and we keep on trying. And what we need to do is not blame ourselves, not blame our husbands, not blame our wives, not compare ourselves to others, just rather instead we encourage each other, understand each other, appreciate the process, appreciate the effort. And even if we fall, we could right away pick ourselves up again. We mentioned in the John Gottman Shiurim, his research, that good marriages are not really defined by lack of conflict. They could have conflict, but how quickly they are able to repair their conflicts. Couples in good marriages have as many conflicts as couples in unhappy marriages, but how they quickly they recover, that's the question. How they make repair attempts, how they try to fix their situations. And that is very, very important. Just like ice skating dancers individually spend hours, days, months doing push-ups, pull-ups, lifting weights, hours and hours skating together, matching their steps, perfecting every turn, every spin, every jump. And so that's the exhilaration that they feel after they're finally on the floor and doing it in front of an audience and winning that medal. How exhilarating it, and joyful it is when a husband could do that as well. And when a wife could do that as well, after all their hard work, to see the fruits of their labor. And that is the aside of what Be'ez Hashem we're going to try to do in this book, in the review of this book, the complement edition to the Marital Intimacy book. It's pretty much aligned with one another. And it's kedai to do everything you can to try to incorporate these ideas to the public, and these ideas to integrate and bring in, to contribute into the marriage that you are in and make it very, very special. Bracha v'atzlacha.